Smash or FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
Everybody, it's Tyrone Tan here on StarRoastEntertainment.tv, Indy100.com radio, and UBN. And I just want to say thank you to all the listeners from around the world that have been tuning into my show. And it's because of you guys I get to do what I do. And I'm always grateful and appreciative on all your guys' listenership. We're going to have a great jam-packed show today. If you're into cool movies or directors or actresses, we have Richard Bakewell, director, producer, and Ashton Selecki, actress from the new movie Roswell Delirium, coming into the studio. But before that, we want to do a couple plugs. Again, if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is at www.starroastentertainment.tv. That's www.starroastentertainment.tv. Also, if you like the music we're going to be playing today, or just like to send some nice positive comments, that kind of stuff, or emails or fan mail, that kind of stuff, email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. And then also, if you want to see our in-studio guest photos, such as our lovely guests of the hour, such as Richard Bakewell or Ashton Selecki, go to our Facebook page over at Star Roast Entertainment over on Facebook. And then last but not least, if you want to hit me up on socials, that's at Tyrone Tan, T-Y-R-O-N-E-T-A, N as in Nancy, over on formerly known as Twitter, X. Thanks to the Instagram, thanks to the hacker there, that's at Tyrone Tan official over on Instagram. That's at Tyrone Tan official. And then there's this new thing called Threads. That's at Tyrone Tan official on Threads. And then last but not least, if you want to hit me up on Facebook, again, you could hit me up at Tyrone Tan over on Facebook. All right. So normally I would bring in my guest co-hosts of the hour, but they're off today. But I definitely want to say thank you to all the lovely and awesome guest co-hosts that we've had on throughout the seasons. And it's always a fun blast having some of my friends or colleagues that come on to guest co-host. So what we're going to be able to do is just go straight into this show, because we want to talk a lot with these two guests going into the show studio. But normally what I would do is do a movie review with my guest co-host. So I'm just going to do a movie review solo here. So what I'm going to do really quickly before we bring in some of the people from the new movie Roswell Delirium, I'm going to do a quick review on the movie. I don't know if I've talked about this, and if I have, I want to talk about it again. It's the new year, and I think I saw it just before it came out in the new year, and I don't recall if I did or not. I do review a lot, but if I had, I want to talk about it again, because it is a good movie. I want to talk about it again. Here it goes. If you missed it, my review, or if you haven't, if I'm doing it for the first time, forgive me, but it is The Iron Claw, rated R. Thanks to IMDb, here's a little quick synopsis. The true story of the inseparable Von Erich brothers who made history in the intensely competitive world of professional wrestling in the early 1980s. Directed by Sean Durkin, written by Sean Durkin as well, and starring the awesome Zac Efron, Jeremy Allen White, Harris Dickinson. We got Holt McCallany, Mara Tierney, a plethora of great actors in here. And if I'm missing anybody, I do forgive me. But in my opinion, I really enjoyed this movie. I really liked it. I really highly recommend checking it out. It's very dramatic. I think Zac Efron does an excellent performance. I think everyone in this movie was just so good. The directing was awesome. I just really, really enjoyed it. I really didn't know much. I mean, I knew, obviously I was hearing the hype about it. And actually a friend of mine was in this movie. He's actually a professional wrestler who was actually doing a cameo in this. His name is Ryan Nemeth. I'm going to give a shout out to Ryan Nemeth, who's a professional wrestler who is actually portraying Gino Hernandez in this. So I kind of saw him post about it. And then finally I said I wanted to support this movie. I checked it out myself. And I really, really enjoyed this movie. It is a heartbreaker. There's a lot of dramatic moments, obviously, sad moments, but just the performances and story, I just think were just really awesome. So if you have not seen The Iron Claw, again, rated R, I highly recommend checking it out. It's still out there, and it's getting a lot of great rave reviews, and It's in the theaters and all kind of good stuff. So check it out. Again, that's the Iron Claw, rated R. All right, so I'm going to be bringing in my guest of the hour. I had a pleasure of actually checking out this movie. There was a festival screening, and I had an opportunity to see this movie. Not only that, but also I had an opportunity to interview on the red carpet one of the stars. I'll give a big shout out to Kaden Tokarski, and then Rick Bakewell, who is, I know it's Rick, I know it's Richard Bakewell, on the red carpets, as well as actually the cast that are coming in, and also, you know, I had a great time. I'm getting tongue-tied because I'm really excited to have my friend come into the studio finally. We've been talking, it's interesting because we've been communicating via social media and all that kind of good stuff, and obviously on the carpets. Also, I'll give a shout out to Kylie Livian, who's a dear friend. And it's funny because, well, we'll probably talk more about it when we bring him in. So what I'm going to do is bring in, again, normally my guest host will introduce these two, and we'll normally what we do is like to find a way to make the guest of the hour, to make them feel special. And a lot of times, sometimes we're bringing people on Millennium Falcons, hang gliders, limos, that kind of stuff. I think I want to do this old traditional style. I think they're pretty cool. I think we thought it'd be cool to bring them in like in a chariot type of style. Make them feel kind of like, I don't know, like prince and princess type of thing. They're really kind of cool type of people, and kind of, I'm going to consider them kind of like royalty, in my opinion, as of dear friends. So I'm just going to bring them in the old traditional style, and I'm going to open up that studio door. There's a bunch of fans outside, and we're just going to say what's up and bring them in on the chariot, old traditional style. Here they come again. This is Richard Bakewell. He's the director producer of this new independent movie called Roswell Delirium, and then we also got one of the stars, Ashton Selecki, who plays the character Firefly. So on the count of three, I'm going to whistle them in. Here they come on the chariot. Oh, here they come, raving to all the fans outside. They're throwing roses at them. Oh, they're stopping, signing for, taking some selfies. Oh, there we go. They're signing some autographs. Wow, Richard's getting torn apart by the clothes already. I don't know. It's fanfare. Ashton, I don't know. They're throwing numbers at her. I don't know if she's taking guys. I don't know what. But here they come. Everyone's up. Okay. People throwing kisses at them. And here they come. Coming down into the studio. They're walking out of the chariot. Signing some autographs. Taking some pictures. Here they come from the new movie, Roswell Delirium. We have director, producer, Richard Bakewell, and star, or one of the stars, who plays Firefly, actress Ashton Selecki. Welcome, Richard Bakewell and Ashton Selecki, from the new movie, Roswell Delirium, to StarRoastEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. Welcome, guys.
Welcome. Thanks for having us.
Wow. That's all I have to say to that was, wow. I don't know. That's a traditional entrance because I was expecting, you know, like a round of applause. How epic. Very epic.
Well, we want to make you guys feel welcome. Cool. Again, Richard Bakewell, director, producer of Roswell Delirium, and Ashton Selecki, one of the stars of Roswell Delirium. Welcome to StarRoastEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. Well, cool, Richard. I know we've been talking for a while. We've been going back. I mean, it's funny. I think I had a memory post come up, and I met you physically about a year ago.
It's been almost, about a year.
That's a year, exactly.
January almost, last year, yeah.
Yeah, because a memory post came up of a photo we did. I think we met at the DGA, and I think it was at what was the screening? It was
13. No, it was I think 13 Lives. Howard movie. Yeah, yep, sorry. That's what it was. Like,
yeah, that's funny. And then you with Kylie Livian, and that's when we first met. And then I know we met again, Kaden Tokarski, who is also in your movie.
I think she goes by the Kaden Tokarski.
Does she go the Kaden? Who was a guest on here as well. And then we saw you again. You came to one of her screenings. And then obviously then I got the interview on the red carpets, and Ashton as well. I got the interview as well. But we've been talking about coming on the show for at least a year.
Indeed.
I think you told me, yeah, maybe, you know, when the movie comes out and that kind of thing, we kind of kept tabs, which is kind of cool. Which is kind of cool about the social media world. We were able to kind of keep touch. So it didn't really feel like a year went by. It kind of was like, oh, and the next thing you know, I'm like, oh, wow. here we are. So cool. So what I wanted to do is have the audience get to know you guys, if not fans already, try to get to know you even more, and then hopefully want to support you guys and then go check out your movie or your projects that you got going up. So we always, I don't know if your people talk to my people, but we always like to start off hard-hitting question, and then we'll go and I kind of go down there. I don't know about this. Here's the hard-hitting question. I don't know if you got the memo. The memo is, here we go. Start off with Richard Bakewell. Where are you born and raised?
Well, I will be honest on the radio only. I was born in Ohio, a little town called Sandusky, Ohio. But I tell everybody I was born in Chicago because I'm not a big fan of Ohio. So okay. It's out there.
What about you, Sue? Ashton Selecki, where are you born and raised?
I am from probably a tinier town than you are. I'm from a tiny town in Montana called Forsyth.
Wow.
Yes.
And now, Richard, did you know growing up that you always wanted to be a filmmaker in the entertainment industry? Or, you know, what did you think growing up that you always wanted to do?
I knew at 5 years old that I wanted to make movies because I asked my uncle for $5,000 so I could make my own version of Grease and film it.
Really?
So then I could kiss a girl that I liked. And then he said, here's $2, get out of my face.
What, the girl that you liked in school or something?
Oh, yeah. Kindergarten. I was like, Reagan Habeck. I was in love with her.
Wow.
And then she just rejected me for 2 years. And I was like, okay, I have to move on.
So comeback time is coming.
Did she come back 2 years later? Or no, when you said for 2 years? Oh, she
For 2 years. No, I just pursued her, but she just wasn't having it, you know. I'm like, I know that you're the one that I want, but you know, it didn't happen. That's,
so you're a big Grease fan.
Oh yeah, that's what started Grease.
Really, Grease
and Star Wars and all those movies really just paved the way for me to do this, you know. And yeah,
who was your first crush then? Was it?
It was Olivia Newton-John. And then I told her that when I met her before she died in 2019, and you know, she was very flattered, and let's get a photo. I'm like, absolutely, let's get a photo. So you know,
that's awesome. Yeah, she was a very, very good person. You had a plus opportunity to interview her, and she's just such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
It's a sad for her to go away. Her and who was also a sweetheart, what you mentioned stars, Carrie Fisher was.
Carrie Fisher. And the sad part was when we were like doing the casting a year and a half ago, I actually reached out to Olivia Newton-John's manager because I wanted her to be in the film.
Wow.
And then they responded back in a day, and he said, well, she's no longer doing projects. And I didn't know why he said that, but then a few months later, she passed. And
wow.
I was like, I had no idea that she was that far, you know, into her illness.
Oh, wow. And then what about yourself? Ashton Selecki, did you know growing up that you always wanted to be an actress or in this entertainment industry, or what?
I always did.
Really?
I always did. I remember the moment it became real for me was when The Mummy came out.
The Mummy
with Brandon Fraser.
Brandon Fraser, okay.
Oh, yes. And I was like, well, that's it. That's what I want to do for the rest of my life. And then shortly thereafter, there was Lord of the Rings, and I was done. I was done for it. I was like, that's the thing.
What was it about The Mummy? Was it because of Brandon Fraser, or was it like there's something because of that movie?
I mean, I think every little kid goes through this phase where you're obsessed with ancient Egypt. So that was number one. And number two, everybody in the cast was incredibly talented and gorgeous. And yep, that was it. That's all it took.
And what about you? So I know you said Grease, Richard, but is there an inspiration of yours? Was it Olivia Newton-John, or was it someone else, a filmmaker, that inspired you?
Well, I mean, of course, I always say the people who paved the way for my coming into this world was, you know, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, you know, like Star Wars, E.T., Back to the Future, Zemeckis. I mean, those three movies solidified it for me. It's like, I want to do that. I don't know how to do that, because when you're in a small town, there is, like, you're the weird kid who wants to go to, like, make movies, and everyone laughs at you until, like, you move away.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, you're the cool kid. Hey,
exactly.
Remember me from school?
Yes.
No, I don't.
Yes. Everybody, I heard this phrase once where it's like, at first, everybody calls you crazy.
Yeah.
And then everybody says, how did you do that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. And then, who was your inspiration? Obviously, you said The Mummy, but was there, or The Mummy the movie, but was there an actor or actress that inspired you? Ashton Selecki?
Constantly. One of my favorites of all time, obviously, a goat, is Meryl Streep. She's fantastic. She's so varied in her work, and I deeply admire actors and actresses who do all sorts of different projects.
Awesome. And what about actors? Any actors that?
Oh, yes. Cillian Murphy. Thank you. I remember seeing Peaky Blinders and my life changed.
Really?
Yes. And he's in so many amazing things, but he's so fantastic. And he's just so natural in front of the camera. He just draws you right in.
Awesome.
He's fantastic.
Who was your one of your biggest crushes growing up, or who was your biggest
crush? No, but I remember my first crush. I was in the movie theater and I was watching The Chronicles of Narnia. Okay.
Oh, wow,
I don't know.
Wow.
Okay, listen.
Okay.
Wait. I'm not sure which one it was. Rick is laughing so hard right now. So It was the one, Prince Caspian. Okay, and I believe that was played by Ben Barnes. That crush holds true to this day, Ben Barnes.
Which is funny, because I knew that Ben, crush. You want to come in? Oh, no, no!
I would probably scream and run. I get so terrified. But yeah, and I remember being like, what is this feeling I feel? Love? Is it love? That was my first crush, Ben Barnes.
Okay, and then obviously I was spelling and all that kind of good stuff. You're pretty much the same wavelength as me of the movies that inspired me as well, but also, but what about actors, or I mean, you said Olivia Newton-John, but is there like actors that you always said, if I became a filmmaker, I want to work with blah blah blah?
Oh, I mean, for sure. You know, I grew up watching, you know, Robert De Niro all the time, you know, Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, and that was someone I idolized, and Al Pacino and the two of them together, you know. Yeah. Heat's like one of my favorite movies, and you know, Ray Liotta, you know, Goodfellas, and you know, Mel Gibson, and there's just so many great actors out there, you know, Travolta, Stallone, who is underrated, but he's very talented, and you know, he's the reason that I think I have done as well as I have, because he kind of paved the way to kind of be a self-creator, and that's what I've been trying to do with this film, you know. So that's one of my definite big time idols.
Awesome. And then and you're, is there one favorite I mean, obviously you got Cillian Murphy, yeah. Ben Burns, but is there like what was the moment that, you know, Ashton, for you, that was like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to pursue this as a actually career, not just like make believe
yes.
kind of thing.
Well, I lived a whole life before this, it feels. Many of them, actually. But I was working in the corporate world. It was soul-sucking for somebody like me. It was a great experience. I mean, I learned a lot. I probably would not have been able to be here without it. But I was moving up in the ladder quickly, and there just reached this point where it was like, wow, if I keep going in this career, I will be stuck, and I will always have wondered, and I didn't want to regret like that. So I pressed a big old fancy button to eject myself, and I moved to Los Angeles. And when I moved here, I knew nobody. I knew nothing. I didn't even know how to audition. What's an audition? How do you act? I knew nothing.
You didn't know a headshot. You didn't even know.
No, I didn't know you needed any of those things. And then within a week, I booked my first small project, and I enrolled in a school that entirely changed my life. And then fast forward 2 years later, I graduated from the school. As soon as I graduated, I booked this film. I booked my first show, and now here we are.
Which is Roswell Delirium, which we're going to get into. So then, Richard, then for you, from what made you just go, okay, I'm going to leave Ohio? When was that point where you're like, okay, I'm going to pursue this, really? And then obviously you said, was it your uncle or your dad that said $2? Or
that was my uncle.
Your uncle.
And I, like, when I was like 17, I remember I was like almost flunking out of school, and I was like, my guidance counselor said, here's a book, look at colleges, not that it's going to matter any. So I looked up colleges.
Oh my gosh.
And then I found Columbia College Chicago, and I was like, well, that's not too far from Ohio. So then I just basically went there a few months later, and then saw the school, and then signed up and said, this is where I'm going to move, I'm going to find a way to get the money to do this. And then I just full speed ahead, you know, all the way into it.
Awesome. And then what made you go from there to then LA? When did you just make the move? You go, I'm going to LA and do this full time.
Well, LA was supposed to be for 4 months. I got a job offer, and it was supposed to be 4 months. And then I had my apartment in Chicago. I got an apartment here by Running Canyon with two of my friends. And then the job got extended to 8 months. And then I went back home to Chicago afterwards, and it was March 17th. It was 4 degrees. It was snowing like crazy. And I said, why am I back here?
Yeah.
I was at the beach on Christmas Day. So I think I need to go back there, because that's where the work is and the sunshine. So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Ashton, for you, when did you decide, when you said LA and you're like, I think I'm going to, I mean, you kind of mentioned, but like, when did you just go, I'm going to stay here for the rest of, you know, my life, or at least for this career? Were you booking that one job? Was that?
Well, I wasn't really booking a job. Actually, I was really nervous to move to LA. I mean, as everybody is, for all the aforementioned reasons. But you hear a lot of assumptions about what Los Angeles is and who lives here and the type of people. And I was so relieved to see that there are a bunch of wackos just like me here. So it's the only place. I've lived in all these cities all over the world, and it is the only place I have ever lived where I truly feel like I belong.
Now, was there any discouragements for you at any point? Because some people do have a lot, and some people just never had a bad experience.
You mean constantly, all the time?
Oh, okay.
All the time, yes.
Was there someone, okay, was there a career that you said, or were there people that compared you to somebody who's like, oh, you could be like the next blah, blah, blah? And did you get a lot of that when you
did? I got a lot of comparisons to Emma Stone. I got a lot of, you're a young Helen Mirren. I got Charlize Theron. I still get those. Elizabeth Olsen. All of these, I'm very, very, very flattered to have. But there were a lot of people, especially in the beginning, and even so now, that will just try to bring down what somebody is doing. It doesn't matter whether you're trying to act or whether you're trying to start a business or whatever. Somebody that doesn't understand or hasn't found their lane in what they're doing yet tends to have a negative perspective. However, what I've learned so far is that you can't listen to someone's advice who's not in the arena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that was. And what about yourself, Richard or Rick? Was there anyone that discouraged you? But was there any point that you said, I may want to just go back home, or did you just think, no matter what, I'm sticking this out?
Well, once I committed, I knew I wasn't going to go back home because I got rid of my apartment. And I drove here with a truck full of stuff, and that was it. And, you know, I think you live here. I've been here 20 years now, and I have been discouraged every year. I mean, it is not.
If somebody didn't say that, I would be like, you're a dirty liar.
Yeah. I mean, you go through these giant, it's like being a surfer. You go on these waves. All of a sudden, you are working, you're getting these great jobs, you're getting calls, life's wonderful. And then the phone stops and you're just depressed because no one calls on you. And then it's like, why am I here? Why should I'm just going to go back and push carts at Costco for $25 an hour?
Yeah. You know, and then what's insane is that when you have those moments where it's like so discouraging. You're like, what am I doing with my life right now? Nothing's happening. Should I just go back home? And then when you actually consider it and say, okay, should I go back home? You just can't. You just can't. It's like this deep, innate thing that you just can't stop.
Yeah, there's no giving up.
Yeah. No giving up. You just ride the waves.
Was there any inspiration for you, anyone that was very inspirational to you when you first came out to L.A.? The opposite of that encouraged you to really go, you know, stick this out.
Definitely. And that came a lot when, as I started to get training, I studied at the Sanford Meisner School here in Burbank, actually. Okay. And the people in that class, as we were going through this journey, and the person who taught me, Ranjiv Pereira, and then Martin Barter, who studied with Sanford Meisner himself, he's truly one of the fathers of acting, modern acting. It was so encouraging because they would see my work, push me to grow, and they believed in me at times when I did not believe in myself. And that's when some of the most powerful, influential moments of your life happen, is when somebody believes in you when you don't believe in yourself. Mm-hmm.
Now, was there anyone also, before we get back to Richard Bakewell, was there anyone that you met thus far in your early career moving out here that you got starstruck on, that you met, or that made you go, oh my gosh, or you have not met that person yet? Or is there anyone that really excited you?
I have been starstruck a couple times. Oh my gosh, okay, I found one. he's not really an actor, though he would be fantastic, but he was in the recent spinoff of Queer Eye, and his name is Tan France, and I saw him in the airport. This was not in my early career. Well, this is my early career. It was in the airport anyway, and
was that yesterday?
And I totally fangirled, and he was incredibly nice.
Wow.
He was incredibly nice, but anyway. Other than that, I've happened to meet a lot of incredible. I've met like Reese Witherspoon and Catherine Hahn and people like this. And what I've learned from people like that is these are A-list amazing celebrities. They're incredible human beings. And when somebody's really good at their job, they're really kind.
Yeah. And that's the interesting. What people always ask me is like, hey, Ty, how many people have you interviewed, and who's been the rudest? And I said, you know what? I have been blessed and fortunate to interview several thousand.
Wow.
Through the years, I mean, in this industry, been in the industry for 35, been doing interviews about 15. And between the radio and the red carpet stuff, I mean, I stopped counting after like 2000. And then it just kept going. And then I was like, I know it's like up to several thousand. And I said what you were saying, the ones that are like the legends, that have been doing this for years, are the sweetest, kindest people. Yeah. The ones that are not are the ones that barely anyone knows.
Exactly.
And I'm like, wait, I don't even know who you are. They're like, I mean, like, I was just having this conversation with someone. I said, I was like, I was at this one thing where I'm interviewing like Stan Lee and Barbara Eden, all like these legend people. And there's this one person, my cameraman was a fan of. He was a fan of the show Lost. Now, it wasn't like it was the star of Lost. It was like someone that was like, no disrespect to it, but it was like the reoccurring character. Yeah, and I didn't really, you know, and I was going to throw her a bone, this person. I was like, hey, you know, you want, because she was watching me interview all these people. I said, yeah, I thought I'd throw her some promotion. I said, hey, you want to, and then she does this, you know, I go, yeah, you want to do an interview? And then she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't do interviews. I'm like going, oh, I'm sorry. Like, oh, I'm really going, I mean, it wasn't even like nice about it. If she was polite, I can understand. Sure, but I was just very snotty about it.
That's
and
so
I was like, you know, and I said, you know what? I don't even know who you are. Like, I'm like going, my cameraman is one that was a fan of the show, but I go, right. I always thought, I was just trying to help you out, promote you, but I go, you know, here, but you, I didn't get that from Stanley. I didn't get that from X1.
Exactly,
I go,
exactly.
I said, I was just trying, okay, but again, there's ways of being tactful. And again, if you want to do an interview, that's fine, but it was the delivery.
Like, yeah. Okay.
And I go, you know, and then I can only count literally out of the people that I've been blessed and fortunate to meet or interview, I could probably literally count on maybe one hand who've actually been rude. And that's a very small ratio
very small.
In comparison.
Well, they say, I've heard it said that you will forget what people have done to you, you will forget what people have said to you, but you will never forget how people make you feel.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And what about yourself, Richard, for you, when you first came out here, was there anyone that encouraged you or that was very encouraging for you instead of like discouraging you?
Well, you know, sadly, like I never really had like a mentor, like someone to kind of look up to. I mean, I kind of like idolized people, cinematographers, directors. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really have that. So basically what I did was I took my knowledge and I just kind of used that to train people underneath me and kind of build them up, you know, from like a PA to an AC to a DP. Like one AC that I had, you know, she went on to do IMAX movies, you know, and then I have another AC I trained, Patrick Dupree, who is now the DP of Naked and Afraid, you know. So I kind of like didn't have that teaching tool for me. No one wanted to mentor me. So I kind of used my knowledge later than train everybody else, you know, and then send them on their way. So, you know.
Well, and I noticed that about you. The one cool thing, because I got to meet you through two young talent that are in your movie, which you're talking about, Roswell Delirium. but they both seem to have a very high regard and respect towards you. And I see you reminded me of myself in some ways of how you seem like a very family-oriented person. And you like to kind of be there supportive because you came to like Caden's premiere. And you were there when I met you with Kylie. And I was like, oh, this guy, you're like a very supportive person. And they've always talked very highly of you. Was that something that you were brought up with, your parents were brought up that way, and that was the nature because you didn't have that and that's how you became, or like what do you think that was?
I think
where you got that from?
I think I didn't have that growing up, but I think what I just learned is and seen in everybody else, like people really need role models, people need someone to look up to. And you know, like I just saw that right away with these Roswell kids. Like, they all idolized me, and I think people got jealous, but I'm like, I didn't talk down to them. I treated them like an adult because they really are like these young adults, and they're like, they're 14 years old, but they're so smart. You can have an adult conversation with them, and they just, I think, appreciated that. So anytime they invited me to a premiere, I was like, I will be there. You know, I'm like, and if I missed one, I was like, I'm sorry, I'll be at the next one, but I always try to be there and support them because it's very important for them at this time in their lives.
Well, it's interesting because I've noticed that through the people as well. Like you said, they'll remember. They remember their like their first of everything, whether it's their first kiss, their first car, their first movie experience, their first directors or first interviews. I've had that where certain people, no one really cared to interview. I interview them, and then like a year later, 2 years, they're the biggest thing, and then they're like, "You gave my first," and then they go, "Wow, you're like you remember?" I don't even like you know they remember it more than anything.
Yeah,
and that's interesting. So I do believe in always being a positive role model. But what we're gonna do before we talk in the nitty gritty of the new movie Roswell Delirium, we're gonna do a cut to a music break, and since Ashton, you're an actress, maybe you could do this delivery line of this song. You want to do that?
Ooh, of the song? Yes. Here. Unless it's so complex. No, we can sound it out.
All right, so you're going to introduce this song, and then we're going to come back. Going to introduce the song, and we're going to come back more with Richard Bakewell, director and producer of the new movie Roswell Delirium, and Ashton Solecki, who stars in Roswell Delirium as the character Firefly. So once you introduce this song, we'll be back more here with them. And before that, you have any social medias or anything really quickly before we plug?
Yeah, you can follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Roswell Delirium, and mine is at Rick Bakewell hashtag.
And at Ashton Selecki. We're super creative. Okay, this is the song Baby Love by Andrew Zendejas.
Yeah, Baby Love by Andrew Zendejas, who was a guest on the show, and we want to help promote them. If you like this song, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. One more time.
Baby Love by Andrew Zendejas.
All right, and Baby Love by Andrew Zendejas, and we'll be back more here with Richard Bakewell and Ashton Selecki. We'll be right back.
All genres, all indie. Listen carefully. The song you are about to hear is an actual independent music submission. Indie 100.
Baby Love, I really wanna see you cry no more, and tomorrow. I do. It's so easy just to fall in love, swear up and down into the stars above. Same old story that I can't give up, but you really know that you're my only one. As a tear slowly slips your eye, don't you worry, we will make it by. Just believe it'll be alright. I'll see you in the morning light. Baby love, I really wanna see you cry no more. And tomorrow I'll be waiting at your door. Flower hanging in your hair feels like that calipatra love we share. Those summer dresses that you used to wear, it's such a feeling that I cannot bear. As a tear slowly slips your eye, baby, don't you worry, we will make it by. Just believe you in the morning light. Baby love,
Okay, that was Baby Love by Andrew Zendejas. If you like that song, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. But better yet, if you really like that song, check him out. Andrew Zendejas, he was a guest on the show. It's called Baby Love. He's got some other cool songs. Go to like Spotify, all that kind of good stuff, or on social medias. Again, that's Andrew Zendejas, Zendejas. This is his last name, Andrew Zendejas. Check it out, Baby Love. And yeah. Hopefully you get to support him. He's a great, cool talent. So we are back here with my guests of the hour, director, producer, Richard Bakewell. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Actress Ashton Selecki. Welcome back.
Hi.
Again, they are from the new movie Roswell Delirium, which is a good sci-fi. Again, so did you like that song? I don't know.
It was a great song. Loved it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What good kind jam. Of music are you into in general, Rick?
I mean, I have, I will say this, I have over 1,000 CDs.
Wow.
So I like everything. Like there'll be a day where I go like full Def Leppard to Eagles to, you know, maybe some Miles Davis. So I just kind of go all over the place.
What about yourself, Ashton?
I also go all over the place, but not so much just within rock. I do. Def Leppard is one of my favorite bands of all time. However, I also love EDM music, and I also love classical music. I like all the things.
Okay,
all the things.
Well, that's awesome. So again, so we're back here with director producer of Roswell Delirium, Richard Bakewell, and then Ashton Selecki, who is stars of the character Firefly. So let's do this. So let's flash forward. So obviously, you guys came out here from different states and smaller towns and that kind of good stuff, and then you kind of came out here, obviously got bitten by the bug, whether it's in the filmmaking world and you know, the acting world. You've had some encouragements and discouragements, but then obviously now you guys, quote unquote, meet. You guys finally work on this movie called Roswell Delirium. Richard Bakewell, can you talk about what is Roswell Delirium, you know, what inspired you? Because you also, did you write this script?
I wrote this film as well, yeah.
And so what inspired you, what it's about, and I'll call it good stuff, and then we'll get into the nitty gritty.
Well, you know, I wrote a short film about 5 years ago now called The Roswell Effect. And it's basically, it's a short film, 8 pages long, nothing to it really, but it was about aliens and death and stuff. And then the pandemic happened. So then I thought, well, we can't make this movie now because they won't let us film anywhere. We're shut down. So I wrote into a feature, and I was really inspired by two things in my life. And one was a documentary about kids doing their bucket list and just trying to like do everything before they die. And one kid had like, you know, cancer 9 times and tried to, wow, you know, beat it. And then he basically just at the end, he couldn't make it. His mom said, if you want to go, you can go. And then, you know, that kind of really inspired the heart of the story, you know, with the mother and daughter, like that dynamic of just like, I've done everything for you, but I can't save you. So therefore, I decided, well, she tried everything to save her child, Justin. And what if, you know, there was a mom who was so crazy with grief that she would take her child to the middle of the desert to give to aliens and said they would save her daughter. And that's really where it started to go from there. And then I went to like the Salton Sea and looked at, you know, like that location, how crazy it was. And then all these ideas started happening in my brain. And then I just wrote for like 2 years. And then, you know, here we go to the casting and here we are. So,
wow.
You know.
So 2 years to write it.
Yep.
And then from that point on, when did you say, okay, this is when it's going to get made? And when did it start, quote unquote, getting into production after you've written? Or for how long, for the point of when you finished writing it to when you actually went into production?
Well, I think when I did like 17 drafts.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, and then and while I was like working and COVID testing almost every other day for work, and you know, I was trying to like find time to write, and I think I wasn't really finished with the script until like probably like a month before we started production.
Oh, wow.
You know, because I was like, I was making changes, and you know, Ashton came into the callbacks and then, you know, sadly inspired me to go home and write for 6 hours. You know, she really just like triggered something in my, and I was like, I got all these ideas now, so I had to put them into the script. So I just kept changing things, and you know, it was a long process, but I felt like, you know, we kind of had to go full speed ahead because, you know, we got like Sam Jones and Dee Wallace even when I was doing the, you know, the rewrites. And then it was like, well, we need dates, we have to lock down dates. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, we don't even have half the film cast yet, but I'll give you, how about, can you wait till August, you know? And then it was like, that was the platform to start shooting. So we, you know, we cast in March church, and then we kind of had to bounce around a little bit to get to that point. So,
then did you guys, is this your first time working together, or did you guys work prior?
Yes, this is our first time.
The first and the last.
So when you guys, when she came into audition, what was it about, because she plays the character, we'll ask you about your character, but what was it about Ashton Selecki that made you feel, because, you know, you're also carrying this thing along with Kylie Levine, who plays the younger me.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So what was it about her in your eyes as a director and a writer?
Yeah. Well, you know, the first time she came in, I loved her performance, you know, and I was like pretty sold on her. I liked her a lot, and she was a wild card, you know, and never even had like a casting tape. And we were the only production that I know of in 2022 who was doing in-person auditions. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody wanted to do it. I couldn't get a casting director out, so I had a bunch of people help me, like Kylie and her mom and Larissa and Glenn, who are producers in the movie. And then when she came back for the callbacks, you know, I kind of gave her a couple, like, things, that, you know, and just did not really drive it home too hard, hold on to that grief, because it's like it's just here idling like a car, you know, yeah, until the end. And when she did her callback, it was like nobody moved.
Yeah.
Everyone was silent. You could see, like, the gloss in their eyes, and I started getting teary-eyed, but I could see the scene come alive. I could see the room. I could see where it was going to be filmed. I could see it all happening. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we found her. Wow. you know, because we originally planned to have someone more, you know, more known, mm-hmm, to be that part. But then I was like, scrap that, because this is never going to be done that well again. And yeah, we have to have her. So, and then my producers go outside and stop her from leaving and tell her she's got it. And I said, no way. I said, I'm gonna make her wait 2 days. Wow. and then we'll call her.
I did. And as an actor, when you walk out the room and you just expect that you're never gonna hear from anything ever again. So 2 days went by and I thought for sure, I'm never gonna hear again.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay, so let's you built her up. Now, Ashton Selecki, tell the audience about your character, and, you know, what's she about?
Yeah, I play Firefly, which is the little girl grown up. And
the little girl played by
Kylie Levine, who's a fantastic and an incredible powerhouse at the wee age of, how old is she now? 14?
She's 14
she
now.
Was,
yeah.
She's so incredibly young. I can't say too much about my character because I have a lot of the spoilers of the movie. Oh. The hard-hitting scenes of where you realize, you know, throughout this psychological thriller what's happened. And my scenes are the ones where it hits home and you're like, oh.
Oh, it's right. We're going to reveal a lot. I forget
trauma.
That.
Yeah, we can reveal some, but not too much.
Well, you tell you give her the leeway of what she can reveal or what she can't.
Yeah, I think she knows. Okay. You know, I think she knows what not to say.
Okay. Well, we'll find out now, won't we?
Yeah, so how's this? Okay, so you play this pivotal character, let's just say, and it's a character named Firefly. Where did the name came from, Firefly, for you as a writer?
Well, you know, when I was thinking about the movie, I was in, I think, in the South filming somewhere, and I was working hard and trying to write stuff at night, and then I remember we're sitting outside and we're drinking, and then there's all these Firefly bugs glowing in the dark, and I was like, wow, I'm like, you know, and then I just kind of sat there, and I was a little buzzed, and I thought, you know, I'm like, Firefly in the sky, and that's what I kept thinking about.
Wow, that's crazy.
And then it was like, and then I just started thinking about the Firefly, and I'm like, what if that's the character's name, the Firefly, you know? And then that's
wild, because I part of in my process is making every single thing very meaningful. So I did not know that was where you came from, and I'm very glad actually. Glad that my imagination could just run wild, because for me, Firefly was the name came more about from
a television show.
A mother who loves their child so much is such a dark world, and they see their child and it's a beam of light, and want them to fly free and be happy. And so when in the movie, when my mom calls me Firefly, it hits hard because I know how she feels. So I didn't know, you're just like, oh, look, a Firefly.
I was buzzed, saw a Firefly.
Yeah,
when Stanley talks about Spider-Man, he says, like, I saw flyers, but Flyman was not, it's Spider-Man.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Something of that nature.
Exactly. Wait, and I'm like, a Firefly.
It could have been a cockroach, probably.
Exactly.
Right, could have been, yeah.
But that's awesome. Okay, so since you can't reveal a lot, what was it like working with, obviously, Rich, if you don't mind, really quick, tell the audience, I mean, you got like an all-star cast in this movie.
Yeah.
So who else? You got Kylie Levine. Who else?
Well, I mean, we have like this
Caden Tokar sees in this thing as well.
As I say, the Caden Tokar.
The Caden Tokar.
She'll yell at me if I don't say that. And then we have Georgia McPhail, who's also amazing, yeah. and Roman Smith and Connor Barrett. I mean, they're so amazing. We have Ryan Kennedy, who's in, you know, Billy the Kid, A Man on the Moon.
Jones.
We have Sam Jones, you know, Dee Wallace, the legend, the myth, the, you know, oh my God. And yeah. Reggie Ville Johnson, Lisa Welcher from The Facts of Life, and then Anthony Michael Hall and Ashton, of course, and Ari, and just, I mean, so many wonderful actors and actresses. It's like, I'm so proud of the work, because it's like, I never had to worry about cutting out anybody's stuff because they're all so good. I had to just worry about cutting it down. You know?
Now, were some of the cast in your mind, or do they just kind of happen to come to the project? Like, was Sam Jones in your mind, or was Dee Wallace, like, when you were writing this, who did you picture? And then at that time, were you like, oh, this is it's cool that I got him, Mark?
You know, I really thought about, maybe, you know, we should go into that the 80s sci-fi world and pull people out to kind of give it like the sense of realism and make you feel like you're watching an 80s movie. So I was like, Sam was always in the back of my mind. And I can't say how he got cast, because there's a couple curse words in there, but it's really funny. I'll tell you off air. But we got him first, and then, you know, Dee was always gonna have to be in the movie. I'm like, no matter what, we got to make her be a part of this, because, like, you know, she's the heart and soul of ET.
Which, by the way, some of my favorite BTS like little clips and pictures are of Rick Richard directing Dee.
Wow.
Because you can see in his eyes that this is him directing someone he has always looked up to, and he is teary. You can just see his heart and soul in front of his eyes.
Oh, no. And she's a sweetheart of a person. I could see that, why you love working with her as well. And it's so awesome. And so for you, Ashton, what was it like working? Here you are. Again, this is kind of your first lead in a feature. Is that correct or no?
Yes. Yeah, that is true. It's true. It's my first role after my training. Boom. Done.
So what was like working with Richard, and then also as well as working with this like all-star cast and just a talented, plethora of great people?
I remember when I saw this project posted, I wanted it so bad, and that's a dangerous place to be for an actor. And I actually didn't get to, I got an audition request. I didn't get to send in my tape. Oh. And I was so bummed about it. And anyway, and then, as Rick says, he was a wild card. He reached out to my manager months later. Anyway, in the audition process, we talked about. But I remember when I got the role, there was 30 seconds of like, wow, this is incredible. Kylie called me on the phone. It was crazy. It was great. And then immediately it was like, oh, no, now I have to do it. And, you know, like, it was so fun to play. And all of a sudden it got so serious. And we are in the worst industry in the world for me to be like this. But I am very bad at names and faces. Okay, it's really, really bad. So when I met Anthony Michael Hall, I'd gone to set early because I wanted to watch Kylie, because I play her grown up, and I wanted to see if she had, you know, certain physicalities. You know, maybe she did something with her hair that I should pay attention to and do that as I'm older. Da da da. And Anthony Michael Hall's there, and he's walking out, and he's like, "Hey, don't worry, you're gonna do great." And I said, "Yeah, you too, man." He was so gracious and humble that, you know, he just chuckled and walked away. He wasn't like, "Do you know who I am?" Yeah. And then afterwards, Rick was like, "Do you know who that was?" And I was like, "No." And he told me, and I was like, "Wow, shoot me." That's like so embarrassing. Anyway, but it was so awesome to see, like, how professional he was. He knew what he was doing. All these people knew what they were doing. And I felt so humbled all the time. So I was like, how did this happen to me? Rick. It was all Rick.
Yeah. All my fault.
It's all his fault. It was. I learned so much. And being directed by Rick, I feel like I've been so spoiled, because Rick trusted in me to make decisions. And he would ever so slightly prompt this way and prompt this way. And there was only one time that I had to yell at him.
Wow.
Just once.
It was only once. And it was only because Firefly is so different than myself, obviously. And I liked to be called Firefly in between takes. And Rick was like, "Hey, Ash." And I was like, "Firefly." But seriously, it was such a fantastic experience. It totally life-changing. So thanks again, Rick.
You're welcome.
You know, it's sad. Some good news and bad news. The good news is, obviously, the show's going great. The sad news, it's already an hour.
Oh, my God.
We have only like 2 minutes left. But that's
terrible.
Okay. But listen, it's inspiring for everything that you guys talked about. It's a very inspirational story of how from going from your small town, so obviously here, making your dream movie. And obviously, how could people check this out?
Well, we have another screening in February on the 24th at the TLC Chinese Sixth Theater.
Okay, in Hollywood, California.
So you can go to the Roswell, Roswell website, Instagram at Roswell, Delirium, and
whatever.
Do you know it, Rick?
I don't. Roswell Delirium. I just had a pause in the brain for a second. So you can go to Instagram.com or Roswell Delirium, and it'll have all information about how to get tickets the 24th, and then it'll be playing some more festivals until we finalize all the stuff.
Which festival? Just so people know,
it's a Golden State Film Festival.
The Golden State Film Festival.
Yep.
February 24th. I've got to see the movie. You guys will love the movie. Again, if you're into great sci-fi or 80s type of movie, it's got that nostalgia, 80s nostalgia.
But beware, because it's going to pull your heartstrings hardcore.
Yeah. So again, go to Roswell Delirium. Go to at Roswell Delirium too, I think, on Instagram.
Yep, and Facebook, yep.
And that's February 24th at the TCL.
Chinese Theater
in Hollywood, California. Check it out, get tickets. So check that out. And then obviously, the show is also about inspiring others. You've been inspired. We want to inspire those. What inspirational messages can you give to someone out there that maybe wants to do what you do, Richard Bakewell, be a director, producer, or just follow their dreams in general?
Well, I would say you're going to have people laugh at you and make fun of you and tell you that your movie sucks at times and they're not going to like your ideas, but you will find the beauty in the negative places, and you have to just keep going and don't give up, because eventually you're going to make something good that everybody wants to see. And it's like, if you don't have the failure, you won't have the success. Mm-hmm.
And then to piggyback on that, actress Ashton Silecki, who stars as Firefly in the movie Roswell Delirium. Any inspiring words of wisdom for people that want to do what you do, maybe actress or just follow their dreams in general?
I think acting in particular is a skill, and a skill can be learned. So if you really want to act and you want to be successful long term, remember that it is a marathon. It is not a sprint, and take time to learn those skills and always hone in on those skills, because at the end of the day, if you do good work, you will be noticed.
Awesome. Well, I want to say thank you guys. Sorry, the time flew by quick. I looked at the clock like, oh my gosh, that was...
We could do a 5-hour show, really. So.
But I wish you nothing but the best of luck with everything, with the movie, with all your guys' future. Any upcoming projects after Roswell Delirium? You got anything you working on, Richard, that you can talk about? Or?
I mean, I'm doing a couple of Subaru shoots in the next month or so, and then I'm working on a new script right now, a little kind of like a spin-off of the Roswell Delirium world, but not really tied in too much.
So. Let's put this out there in the universe, so to speak. I always like to speak things in the existence. Is there anyone you'd like to work with?
Well, of course, Ashton again.
Yay!
Even though she yelled at me, it was so difficult. I mean, my God, every day I had to bring in a case of Reese's Pieces cups, definitely her, and maybe... somebody like, I don't know, maybe like a Meryl Streep or, somebody like that, like somebody, who I just admire, I admire so many people. So there's someone,
Awesome. What about yourself, Ashton? Upcoming projects or anyone you'd like to work with?
I do both. I booked my first network show last year, and it comes out in April. On April 11th, it'll be on INSP and Peacock and tons of other services. It's called Elkhorn.
Elkhorn, awesome.
The lead villain, Medora. It's an 1800s Western. Tune in.
Wow, awesome. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, congratulations. So check that out. And it's coming out when?
April 11th.
Elkhorn. Awesome. And then social medias.
At Ashton Silecki.
And then Richard.
At Rick Bakewell.
And then also you could check out, again, at Roswell Delirium.
Yep.
Check out for tickets. Again, if you want to check it out at a festival, it's the Golden State Film Festival.
Yep.
That's going to be in Hollywood, California on February 24th.
Yep.
Check them out. I wish you guys best of luck. Congratulations on all your guys' success.
You.
God bless you guys. And I want to say God bless you guys all for tuning in. I always appreciate all your guys' listenership. Love you guys all. Again, Happy New Year. I go for those that missed the first one of the first couple shows on the New Year. But again, Happy New Year for all those that are tuning back in. I'm so grateful. Again, I like to end off my show, Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible. And we are out. Bye-bye.